The Big Internet Tax Case. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The S&P 500 stock index is up more than 2% this week so far. This morning, the S&P is up another 0.3%. The Dow is up 24 points at the moment, 0.1%. The NASDAQ up 0.2% in this first 22 minutes of the trading day. Some of this is what Wall Street codenames earnings, what you and I call profits and losses. Susan Schmidt is senior portfolio manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas.
We are hearing from company management teams about the profitability of their companies. So far, we're on the positive side of neutral as we hear actual factual reports of how businesses are doing. It takes the market away from focusing on Washington headlines that are distracting and can create more volatility.
Yeah, whether or not we're going to move back toward the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership or away seems to change every other day here. But back to your notion of on balance, you're seeing this not quite neutral, but on the positive side of neutral. Some of that are the big banks. The big banks accrued some nice profits from their perspective last quarter.
Banks overall are doing well. We've seen some of the bigger banks report their comments on the economy are positive. Their comments on consumer sentiment, how they feel about investing in business, have all been very positive. And that's a good sign for the economy moving forward.
I know it's a naive question, but look, interest rates are going up. That's the environment in which we live. How is it that banks make more profit when interest rates are rising? That's like a company that makes widgets. Their raw material is getting more expensive. You thought that would cut into profits.
So while the cost of money is going up, that also means that the cost of the bank's product, the loan, is going up. So the consumer is paying a higher interest rate as well now when they look at mortgage loans, home equity loans, commercial and industrial loans. That corresponding loan rate goes up as well.
All right. Thank you for that, Susan. Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
The House Agriculture Committee is looking at the massive farm bill today. One key part is meant to protect farms from and farmers from swings in crop prices and crop yields. But there's a crucial connection between crop insurance and China's threats of retaliation to proposed U.S. tariffs. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Here's how crop insurance works. Farmers buy a policy, with taxpayers paying part of the premium. Crop insurers set a threshold for prices and crop yields. If yields or prices come up short, crop insurance pays out. John Newton is with the American Farm Bureau.
So it provides protection against both price and yield shocks that the farmer could experience throughout the growing season.
And there could be a big shock to soybean prices if China follows through on threats to charge new tariffs on U.S. soybeans. Jennifer Ift is an agricultural economist at Cornell. She says weather is always a wild card, but the tariff tiffs are creating even more anxiety.
Now, you can buy crop insurance to cover a lack of rainfall, but you know, maybe it's harder to have control over the political process.
And there's more political risk. President Trump proposed cutting crop insurance by around $26 billion in his fiscal 2019 budget. The House Farm Bill being considered today looks for a less drastic trim of around $161 million. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Just as you count on Marketplace for reliable, in-depth news and information, we're counting on listeners like you to invest in what we do. The more people who support Marketplace, the more that we can do to raise economic intelligence across the country. You'll reap the rewards every time you listen, knowing that you're helping Marketplace make people smarter about the economy and why all this matters. And here's the thing, your donation now will be matched dollar for dollar when you give today, thanks to a generous challenge from our friends at Candida. Become a Marketplace investor at marketplace.org, and thanks for making a difference. Justices on the U.S. Supreme Court had especially tough questions for South Dakota yesterday in that state's quest to force out-of-state online retailers to pay state and local taxes. It's a case that could define state and local funding and American retail for generations. Mark Walsh is a veteran Supreme Court watcher and a contributor to SCOTUS blog.
One member of the court who kind of invited this challenge to the court's precedent in this area, and that's Justice Kennedy, and several other members of the current court are on record as perhaps being in favor of overruling that earlier case known as Quill Corporation versus North Dakota. So maybe the conventional wisdom that South Dakota was going to get a warmer reception in the court than it did get yesterday, because right away, several of the other justices started hammering away at the idea of overruling this precedent that keeps the states from collecting a lot of sales tax on internet purchases.
So it became abundantly clear watching yesterday that, well, one of the justices was especially interested, but not necessarily others.
Correct. Chief Justice John Roberts suggested that maybe this whole issue of not being able to collect all the sales tax revenue that states and local jurisdictions would like, maybe that's peaked because most of the largest online retailers, some of which are also bricks and mortar stores, do now collect it. But it's also a lot of smaller online retailers who fear the complexity of having to collect sales tax for as many as 12,000 different jurisdictions. So they would like to see the status quo maintained as well.
You know, as a person who's watched the Supreme Court for so many years, I mean, it's probably folly to assume you can predict the outcome based on the tone of the questioning.
I would say that this is a case where I'm a little hesitant to call how it would go. I think some of my colleagues think that, you know, based on yesterday's arguments, that it now seems, you know, at least a little less likely that the court was prepared to overrule.
All right. Mark Walsh contributes to SCOTUS blog, but has covered the Supreme Court for years. Mr. Walsh, thank you.
Thanks, David.
And one more number, part of the price tag for Starbucks shutting down for a day late next month to train staff to recognize and overcome bias and unconscious bias. Bloomberg News calculates that closing the 8,000 Starbucks for the day means $17 million in lost sales. As we've been reporting, a Starbucks manager in Philly called the cops, who arrested two people who were waiting in a Starbucks for a friend. The two men, who were black, hadn't ordered yet. Starbucks founder Howard Schultz said today that store manager is no longer with the company. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.